Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Know Your Enemy podcast. My name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor behind thesteelcurtain.com, and my co-host, as always, film guru extraordinaire, Jeffrey Benedict. Jeffrey, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing good, Michael.
Great to hear. And as we do every Wednesday night, we like to bring on a special guest from one of our sister stations. Tonight, from the Daily Norseman, Mr. Eric Thompson. Eric, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, just great. Anticipating how the Vikings could possibly break the hearts of their fans yet again tomorrow night. But they come up with new and different creative ways every single week. And I'll actually be there in person tomorrow at US Bank Stadium. So I'm excited and scared all at the same time.
Perfect. Now, it really has been one of those seasons for the Vikings. I believe it's been 8 1-point contests. Thursday night football is typically weird, regardless of the matchup, just with smaller playbooks, less game planning. Are you anticipating this game to be one of those 1-point games, one of those like couple points here or there, just a one play makes a difference sort of a game?
Yeah, I think they're contractually obligated at this point to have one score games because I don't think it's 1-point games, but all but one game, the week 3 win, the home win against Seattle, has been a one possession game at the final. And these two teams I guess it doesn't really matter how the Vikings are matched up, because it seems like they'll play almost to the exact level of their competition, no matter who it is, whether it's the division leading Packers or the winless Lions. They play the teams equally as tough. And I think the Steelers are actually a pretty even matchup. I think the Vikings getting a couple people back on the defense, especially their linebackers, is going to help big time, but there's a lot of talent on Pittsburgh's side of the ball as well. So yes, my heart, I don't know if I can take it. I feel like every week takes another 4 years off my life watching this team, but I would expect another close game. It's been almost nothing but the entire 2021 season.
Yeah, for the Steelers side of Thursday night games, we have a pretty harsh home road split. It's one of my few rules on the Steelers is the Steelers will not win in California. And number two is the Steelers will not win on Thursday night on the road. Since Mike Tomlin took over, the Steelers are 2-6 on Thursday night road games. They are 6-1 when they're at home. Does Minnesota have I know it's kind of a league-wide thing, but I know not everyone is quite as stark as like the Steelers there. Does Minnesota have a Thursday night like disparity, or are they it's just another normal game for them?
I don't think there's a huge split on the Thursday night. I know there was recently, before the Kirk Cousins days, there was a really big dearth of primetime games. The Zimmer's first several years, it was a really bad record. Then the Vikings started doing better. But I think, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins in his career is 8-17 in primetime games. And I know he just won his I think it was like his first Monday night game last season, out of like 12 or 13 tries. So both Kirk Cousins and the Vikings kind of have a pretty poor record, recent records in primetime games. But as far as the actual Thursday night in short rest, obviously it's I think it's pretty close to the NFL standard. Of course, it's more helpful to play at home on the short rests and things like that. And they're usually probably a little worse, but nothing stark more than, you know, the Kirk Cousins is less than stellar primetime record.
So with the Vikings offensive injuries, which are a pretty long list these days, Thielen has been ruled out. Christian Darrisaw has been ruled out. Dalvin Cook is questionable, but just from some of the reports I've read, it seems like it's probably more likely he isn't playing than is. That's just some of the brief reading I've done. But if the Steelers are able to kind of bracket coverage Justin Jefferson, where should we look out for some of this other secondary offense to come from?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the huge one, I think, Adam Thielen being out for the game, because having the 1-2 punch of Jefferson and Thielen is you can't really double team all the time one of those two guys, because the other one's going to get open there. I would expect KJ Osborne to get a lot more snaps and a lot more targets. He's been kind of a breakout player. I don't think he played a single offensive snap his rookie year last year, and he's been the first reliable third wide receiver the Vikings had in a long time. That said, he hasn't had to carry that load of, you know, being the second guy in command yet. So that'll be interesting. I think Tyler Conklin, the tight end, who's a backup himself because Irv Smith went down for the season before the season even started. That's another part of the Vikings offense that's really going to be missing. But Conklin, his blocking has been kind of hit and miss this year, but he's been a pretty reliable pass catcher. So I think those two would be definitely more involved with Thielen out, and maybe sprinkle in some good old veteran D.D. Westbrook, who's been mostly a punt returner and a rotational guy, usually getting about 10 or 11 snaps. He might get a handful more targets as the third wide receiver going into Thursday now.
Now, for Pittsburgh Steelers fans who have not – probably a lot of them probably haven't heard much about Justin Jefferson, who's one of the – like one of the great receivers. Like, I absolutely love watching him play, but because it's on the Vikings and we're on the East Coast over here, like, we don't hear about him. So tell Steeler fans what Justin Jefferson brings to the Minnesota Vikings.
I think it might be easier to say what he doesn't bring to the Vikings. I mean, he was a really good draft pick. People were really happy with him, especially when you compare him to, you know, you can give your neighbors in Pennsylvania a little guff about them passing over Justin Jefferson for Jalen Reagor instead. I think that was there is a video of when Justin Jefferson got drafted. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer basically ran to the phone to call in that pick because they were so excited that Jefferson had fallen to them. But even as great of a prospect as he was, he is by far over, like, he's exceeded almost every expectation. The knock on him was his size. He's not a very big guy. He's pretty skinny. He's a slender guy, but a lot of people thought maybe at the NFL level, he wasn't going to be able to get off the line against press coverage, but he can get open just about anywhere on the field. If you look at his next gen stats chart, I'd recommend that if you head out there from his game last week against the Lions, it looks like just a beautiful painting. Like, he is all over the field, all sorts of depths. He's lining up on both sides of the field. He's lining up in the slot, and his route running and his ability to just find ways to get open it's really incredible. He is second or third basically all time in yardage through the first two seasons already. I think he's going to be passing Randy Moss pretty soon, and that's usually good company to keep. And I think the only one that he'd be trailing after that is Odell Beckham Jr., who had, you know, probably the best 2-year start to a career in the NFL. So he's already in great company, and the sky's the limit for him. He seems to be, he has a really good head on his shoulders, and hopefully it's only going to get better. But again, it's going to be tested against this Pittsburgh defense, especially without that 1-2 punch of him and Thielen, because like you already had mentioned, the Pittsburgh secondary can definitely rotate a lot more coverage over to him. So it'll be interesting to see how the Vikings attack that on Thursday.
So like I mentioned a little bit earlier, Christian Darrisaw has been ruled out for this game. Across this Minnesota Vikings O-line, what are they going to have to do to slow down TJ Watt and the NFL sack leaders in total sacks against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, that's going to be a lot easier said than done. The good thing is that Watt usually lines up on the side of Brian O'Neill, who is by far the most reliable pass blocker the Vikings have. I believe he's a third year right tackle, just got a big extension before this season. He's definitely worth it. He is the one part of this always seeming to be in flux offensive line that is a very reliable, especially in the pass blocking game. That said, if he switches over to the other side, that's kind of open season right now, because with Darisaw out, who it was, again, he's only played a handful of games, missed the beginning of the season with injuries. Now he's back injured again. It'll probably be Ole Udo again on the left tackle spot. That's what it was last week. And he was the starting right guard for every game up until last week. And my ongoing joke on Twitter was basically you couldn't spell holding without OLI, because he'd get called for two or three holding penalties every week. He did better than expected, I guess, last week at the left tackle, but that's still a huge question mark. And by proxy, I think the Ezra Cleveland, the left guard, he had a really good game the week before next to Darisaw. He kind of saw his production and performance drop off, just because I think he had Udo kind of to worry about on the left side of him. And the interior of the line has always been a concern. It's been a concern basically for the last 5-6 years, since the Matt Burke days. I think we got spoiled, but it's been pretty rough going. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Garrett Bradbury as the starting center, and Mason Cole is the starting right guard. Mason Cole's been a pleasant surprise. The Vikings picked him up from Arizona as kind of a rotational guy. He started while Garrett Bradbury was out with COVID for a couple weeks, and actually started when Bradbury was eligible to come back from COVID. But I think what you're going to see across the line is Udo, Cleveland, Bradbury, Cole, and then O'Neal. And again, out of those five, especially with the pass blocking with the rusher like Watt, O'Neal's the only reliable one. But I mean, Watt can get through on anyone. I'd expect him to introduce himself to Kirk Cousins a few times tomorrow night.
Now, to jump in just before Jeffrey's question, we do have a super chat here from a longtime listener, Brad Jewett. He says, "Hi, Eric. With all due respect, I hope you guys lose. First of all, I'm going to butcher this name, but Dan Chizena is one of my best friends, and I'm curious to see if he'll get any reps." Yep. Okay, I did okay. With number 19, Adam Thielen out. So what do you expect at that receiver spot in that receiver rotation?
You're definitely going to see Dan in special teams. He is he's kind of the unsung hero he's an incredible punt gunner. He's really, really fast. He's one of the fastest people on the team, and he has made tons of plays on punt coverage. If the Steelers aren't calling fair catches, watch for Chizna on that. I still don't expect he's going to be involved very much in the offense, even with Thielen out, because I think he's probably the fourth wide receiver. And the Vikings very rarely run four wide. I think you'll see a lot more of D.D. Westbrook and, like I said, a lot more of K.J. Osborne. But I still don't think you'll see a ton of Chizna. But you'll see him on the field, and you'll probably notice him, especially on special teams.
All right. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. With Kirk Cousins, what is the best way to attack him? Are there good defensive strategies to go after Kirk Cousins? Are there things to avoid doing? What has he shown over the years?
Well, I think the number one thing, it's been my ongoing kind of problem. I've mentioned the interior of the offensive line, which has been pretty poor. I think that's the number one way to short circuit the Vikings offense is pressure directly up the middle. If you look at old games against the Vikings haven't played the Bears yet this season, which is super weird. But every time Akeem Hicks, who is a really big, strong defensive tackle, is in the middle, he just absolutely destroys anything the Vikings want to do. Cousins is actually pretty good. Like, if it's just coming from Watt's side and they just have to worry about one side, they can kind of remedy that with some rollouts. And Cousins is very good normally very good at throwing on the run and on with the bootlegs. And basically, if everything is going on schedule, Cousins is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's when you get him off schedule, especially right away off the snap, if it's something up the middle, that's where the bad throws and the fumbles and everything else start happening. So that I would expect Tomlin to bring some pressure up the middle, or at least get the Vikings guessing of where the pressure is coming from. Because if you give Cousins time and the plays develop how they're supposed to, he can definitely pick apart just about any defense. But when the pressure is on consistently, his numbers, I mean, if you look at his splits, even through this year, I think he's still like the second highest graded PFF quarterback. But if you look at his splits when under pressure and not under and kept clean, it's really stark. So that's the number one thing is pressure, and especially up the middle.
Now, one of the interesting storylines that I've kind of read going on with the Vikings in the last couple of weeks is that of Everson Griffin. What is his whole situation? Should we expect him to be playing in this game? Is he still suspended? I know it's a whole ordeal.
He is definitely out for this game. I believe he is on the NFI list. I think that's the official classification. Unfortunately, I think he might be. I'm pretty sure he's done for this season, and I would gather probably done with his, not maybe if not his Vikings career, maybe his NFL career. This is the second time that Everson has had something off the field. After this latest episode, he came out and admitted that he was bipolar, and that he had a 2018 episode, which is pretty similar. It was right before the Bills upset, I believe, in week 3. And it was the day before a game. And it's basically, I think, I hate to speak on it too much, but I think it's just something with it. It's definitely a mental health issue. And it sounds like he's getting the help he needs. It was just for Everson. Unfortunately, it was a really thin balance, I think, between, being, you know, his usual self. And that's for when the 2018 episode happened. I mean, I'd covered most of Everson's training camps, and he was always the first one on the field, one of the most happy, jovial guys, always talking, always really outgoing. You didn't know, you know, what was happening kind of behind closed doors. And that's why I think I'm sure that people have seen, you know, the clips of the Instagram stories he was posting and everything else like that. And I think he was just in a really bad place there mentally, and I don't think it's all the time, but when he gets to that place like that, it was really kind of a struggle for him. So I mean, if he returns to the NFL in any capacity, that's great. I think it's the number one thing, I think, for the Vikings and for Vikings fans, is to make sure that he gets the help he needs off the field, because, you know, it can be kind of scary with that kind of diagnosis.
Now the Vikings have kind of a more veteran defense. There's a lot of guys either approaching 30 or already over 30, guys like Patrick Peterson, Sheldon Richardson, Anthony Barr, you know, guys like that have been around the league a while. Is this defense still as good as it has been in the past? Is it still capable of that? Or are we looking at a Minnesota team that's, you know, a defense is kind of seeing the end of its days?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of aging people on this defense, and a lot of them came on one-year deals, like Patrick Peterson. Michael Pierce came on a multi-year deal, but he sat out last year due to COVID. And a lot of these pieces, you know, they aren't long-term solutions for the Vikings. And, you know, the 2020 defense was so depleted by injury. I mean, I think they were dead last or one of the very last in total sacks. Now they're definitely up there in sacks, but they're missing a lot of pieces. Last week with that upset against the Lions, they were missing both of their starting linebackers, Anthony Barr, who's been dealing with injuries most of the last two seasons, and Eric Kendricks, who really makes that defense tick, and that the Vikings really missed him. And Danielle Hunter, of course, is out for the season again. I mean, it's been pretty bad luck with injuries. The defense is definitely not what it used to be. The Mike Zimmer defenses that you know from the first 5-6 years of his tenure, that definitely has not been it this year. I think Patrick Peterson has been a pretty pleasant surprise. Of course, he missed last week as well, being out, even fully vaccinated. I think he had to miss 2 games due to COVID protocols. And Bashaud Breeland has been nothing short of not a lot of fun. I'll be polite, because he sends out tweets to fans that really that badmouth him too much. But he has been a pretty big disappointment. And if you even go back to Jeff Gladney, who the Vikings drafted last year in the first round, had a domestic abuse thing. He was off the team before the season even started. Cam Dantzler has been pretty up and down through most of the season. I think Xavier Woods has been a good pickup, but that's another one-year pickup. So long story short, the defense is not where it needs to be. I think it's going to be better than last week, just for having their starting linebackers back, and they're getting a little healthier this week, but it's still, it's been a big disappointment, I think, overall for the Vikings, because again, like if you look at Kirk Cousins' numbers and the offense on the whole, I think the numbers look better than the offense at least consistency wise, you know, the Vikings left a lot of points on the field in the first half, I thought, against the Lions, but that the offense did enough to win that game, and they let Jared freaking Goff drive down the field with no timeouts and complete what I thought was a pretty easy pass for the game winning touchdown last week. So the defense definitely has to get better. I know Big Ben isn't at his absolute apex anymore, but he showed last week that he still has a little bit left in the tank. So it's going to be a really interesting battle. I think points might be hard to come by on either side, but again, this with Vikings and the Steelers games have been in their fair share of one score games as well this season. So I'd expect a pretty hard fought battle on both sides of the ball.
Now, after bringing up the defense, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the offensive line struggles of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But rookie Najee Harris has had some success running the ball still as a pretty powerful runner. How do you kind of anticipate the Vikings trying to slow down pretty much the heartbeat of the Steelers offense?
Yeah, that's going to be a really tough ask for the Vikings, because I think that's even, you know, I mentioned a lot of the secondary guys, but the run defense just hasn't been there when it needed to be. They have allowed, I mean, it used to be an anomaly when the Vikings allowed more than 100 yards rushing in a game. And I think they've done that in all but two or maybe three games this year. And they've allowed over 200 a couple times as well. And the Lions even got to 100 yards, even though they barely ran the ball last week. So it's that's definitely a concern, because that's the one way to wear down this defense, I think, especially in the fourth quarter. And with Harris, he's had a tough go of it this year, I think, with the help in front of him. But he can definitely break those long runs. Again, I think with Pierce being back in the lineup and having both starting linebackers in Barr and Kendricks, I'm a little more confident with that. But if the Steelers can control the ball and avoid mistakes, it's going to be hard for the Vikings defense to get off the field.
I want to jump back to offense real quick, because I didn't ask you about Dalvin Cook. Do you expect him to play this week, or do you think he's going to miss the game? What's going on with him?
I would probably put it as more doubtful than not, just because it's on a short week and it was a pretty serious shoulder injury. But I definitely wouldn't rule it out completely either, because it's a shoulder that he's had problems with before, but it seems like it might be an injury where it's just kind of a pain tolerance thing. And Cook himself has said he wants to go tomorrow, but of course, you know, that most football players will say that, and the Vikings know how important it is. I am a little worried, just because I mean he fumbled on the play where he got hurt last time, and if he's taking a shot to the shoulder, especially with a couple of the big hitters that the Steelers have on defense, that could happen again, and then he could make it worse and miss the rest of the season, maybe be hurt into next season as well. So if it's just a pain tolerance thing and they can make that work, sure, then I think he might be able to play. I'd still have my doubts, especially with the kind of shoulder injury that it was, and the fact that it doesn't drop off a ton with Alexander Mattison in the backfield. He's a pretty good backup. I like to call him Cook Light, because he does most of the things that Cook does, maybe just without as much as explosiveness. He's had his problems maybe, you know, finding the hole on some of the plays at the line of scrimmage, but he can definitely come up with a nice big play or two. I thought he had a really good game overall against the Lions last week as well. So I'd be a little surprised, but again, I without knowing the exact status of where he's at, I think questionable is a very good status to have, because I think it's up in the air right now.
Now, all year long, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense has been trying to dial up the deep ball. Haven't quite connected on it yet. They've had some opportunities, but haven't really taken advantage of that. How is the Vikings defense when it comes to slowing down guys on those vertical route concepts?
Well, they did really good on that last drive against the Lions last week, because they had eight people behind the butt. They've been okay. That hasn't been a huge point of concern. They don't have a ton of speed on the outside with Breland and Peterson. You know, Peterson is on the wrong side of 30, and he isn't the speed demon. But usually, Zimmer, unless he's dialing up a big blitz, which it's tough to tell pre-snap where he's dialing up the extra pressure from. A lot of times he'll bring Harrison Smith down and rush the quarterback, but it's usually when Zimmer kind of assumes that it's not going to be a deep shot. There have definitely been a handful completed, but it hasn't been a huge weak point for the Vikings defense. But I mean, if it's there, especially with the wide receivers that the Steelers have, I could definitely see one or two connecting, but it hasn't been something that on my list of worries, it isn't as high as some of the other things going into this game.
Okay, I want to get to the most important part of this game, and that is the Jordan Berry factor.
Your old friend.
Steeler fans were pretty happy to get rid of Jordan Berry. He was known as a punter who shanked a lot of punts and got worse as the weather got colder. How has he done in Minnesota?
He's done fine. Like he's been really good on getting other teams inside the 20. He hasn't been booming punts by any means. I think his net average and regular air average has been pretty middle of the road. But that's been one of the pleasant surprises overall of the Viking season. Is special teams has been a pretty sore spot the last few years. Of course, the kicking and especially extra points, you're never out of the woods with the Vikings, but that's been overall better. The punt coverage, I think, is really good under special teams coach Ryan Ficken. And Berry has been serviceable. Like, I don't think he's been outstanding. I don't think he's going to get voted to the Pro Bowl or anything, but he's been doing pretty good. I think last week was only his second or third touchback of the entire season. So he's been doing a good job at trying to flip the field. No major complaints. And I'm a little surprised because I knew Steelers fans weren't too sad to see Berry leave, but he's been okay. And when it comes to Vikings and special teams, okay is just great.
Yeah, I want to throw in real quick. This year is his best yards per punt of his career.
There we go.
I think a solid over a yard. So it's he's doing significantly better than he was here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I'm guessing part of that might have to do with playing in US Bank Stadium instead of Heinz Field for all the home games, and of course getting the Detroit game as well. But yeah, it's been better than expected, Barry. That's for sure.
Flipping things back over to the defensive side of the football now. One of the Steelers' better players is another rookie and tight end, Pat Freiermuth. He's put out some decent tape, but I'm just curious how the Vikings try to defend top flight tight ends and whether or not the rookie could put up another big statistical performance.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Hockenson had a touchdown against the Vikings last week, and he had a pretty solid game overall. The tight ends haven't killed the Vikings this year, but they haven't played. Like, I'm trying to go back through the schedule. It's been a rather light schedule with the kind of the star, I guess star tight ends are kind of few and far between after the upper echelon kind of guys, but the Vikings really haven't faced a ton of them either way so far this season. It's been usually the Vikings defense, the way Zimmer handles the safeties with help in the middle. It's not a huge concern, but with Freiermuth, I think that's going to be, I would expect him to be involved in the offense. I think he could definitely have a game like Hockenson had last week where he's steadily involved. It might not be a ton of splash plays, but getting those first downs and keeping moving the sticks, that it really kind of depends on what kind of pressure that the Vikings get, I think, with their outside guys. Because again, they don't have their starting two defensive linemen. They don't have Everson Griffin. They don't have Danielle Hunter available. So if they can get decently consistent pressure with the front four and not have to send a lot of extra blitzers, then I think they'll do okay guarding the tight end. If they have to send extra pressure, especially the Vikings like to send that the A-gap pressure and send a safety here and there just to keep the offense honest, that's where I could see Freiermuth having a much bigger game.
With the Vikings overall, what's the number one thing the Steelers need to stop for the Vikings to beat the Vikings, or need to pull off to beat the Vikings?
Well, Justin Jefferson. That's 1, 2, and 3, especially with Thielen out. I think it's a lot easier said than done. Even with Thielen out, Jefferson's going to get his receptions. This was actually last week was the first time that Jefferson had 7 or more receptions and the Vikings lost. That was the Vikings are 0-6 when he doesn't have 7 receptions. And up until last week, they were undefeated when he did. He's going to get open. He's going to get some catches. They're going to scheme him open. They'll do some short passes. They like to do end arounds. I think he's even thrown like 3 or 4 passes this season. He'll definitely be involved. I think that'll be the number one thing. And just making sure that the supporting pieces don't do too much. I think the Vikings, they probably run too many screens, in my opinion. They like to run that screen game. They like to hit their tight end Conklin on a lot of those, and I'm sure they'll run a few of those to Madison and or Cook, depending on who's playing. But I think that's the biggest thing. And it seems like as long as the opponents avoid enough mistakes, the Vikings usually try to find a way to beat themselves. So just kind of force Cousins and the offense into a couple turnovers. Although another crazy weird stat about the Vikings this year is that they're 1-4 when winning the turnover battle this year. Like before this season under Zimmer, they were 45-9 when they won the turnover battle. So even when the Vikings do get, you know, win that, it's not a guarantee, because they've found really, even by Viking standards, really creative ways to lose games. But I think if you keep Jefferson in check, make sure that the supporting pieces aren't consistently getting first downs, I think the Steelers have a good chance. And again, I expect it to be close, but it's going to be tough if Jefferson doesn't get a significant amount of yards and catches.
So we are approaching the end of our time with Eric now. We like to end our segments with our guests with one final question to completely put you on the spot. What is the final score of this game, and what do you anticipate on a short week of football?
Well, I think it's going to be very Thursday nighty, which is there's going to be some sloppy play. There's going to be some missed tackles. There's going to be plays where both fans on both sides are going to be pulling their hair out and being like, what the heck was that? I think points are going to be pretty tough to come by overall. I'm worried about that. The Steelers pass rush, especially Watt. And from what I've seen on film of the Steelers, I thought last week was nice, but I think they're, you know, I'm definitely not as afraid of Roethlisberger as I used to be in their last matchup. So I think I'm not being a homer when I pick this. I think it's more of like what we already discussed with you know, it's kind of the Thursday night, the Steelers history of it, and it's just the Vikings being at home, and the fact that after losing to the only winless team in the NFL last week, it makes the least amount of sense for the Vikings to bounce back and actually have a decent win over a pretty solid Pittsburgh team, and especially a well-coached Pittsburgh team. So that's why I'm picking it, because nothing in this 2021 season is making any sense for the Vikings. Every time you think they're going to zig, they zag, and vice versa. So this is just purely like, I hope that it's maybe a little wishful thinking. I'll say something along the lines of let's go 19-16 Vikings. I think it's going to be kind of a rock fight, I think, tomorrow, but maybe that score goes a little higher with a defensive touchdown or two or special teams or something. It'll be something crazy. I mean, I just kind of almost want to fast forward to the last 5 minutes of the game where it's a one possession game and with whatever, you know, whoever doesn't screw up the most is going to win, because I feel like that's what it's going to be yet again for the Vikings.
Yeah, that sounds just about right. 19-16, that's probably scoring on me. So, I mean, that's exactly what we're cheering for, I think. But Eric Thompson, thank you so much for your time tonight, sir. Much appreciate you jumping on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All righty. So with that being said, everyone watching on YouTube and Facebook, just hang tight. We're going to flip over to part two. If you're on the audio side, you're going to have to click over to this second part right now. And Eric, thank you once again for your time today.